I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday afternoon. A remarkable story, very dramatic story to hear this hour of the program. Yanso Lee is with us in our studios in Milwaukee, and she is probably the only North Korean defector that I have ever met. Many of us have not met people who have defected from North Korea because there are only 500 such defectors here in the United States. She left at a very young age. She was a teenager in 1997 and lived close to the border with China. And she had witnessed some terrible things, a horrible famine in North Korea, public execution of someone. She saw that when she was 7 years old. And she decided that she would go to China and had to get a new identity and had lots of encounters that could have had her sent back to North Korea. She eventually found her way to South Korea. I'm really capsulizing her incredible story here. We have an hour with her, so she'll fill in all the details. She got her family members, some of them, out of North Korea, also a harrowing journey, studied in Seoul at a university, and met her husband, who was also studying in Seoul, who happens to be from right outside the Milwaukee area. And they got married, and so they're here visiting family in Brookfield. And she did a TED Talk that got millions of views, and she now has just written her remarkable story, The Girl with Seven Names, A North Korean Defector Story. She's with us in our studio. Yanso Lee is with us, and also her husband is here, and he is from, as I said, the Milwaukee area, Brian Gleason. Yanso, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. And Brian, thank you very much for coming into our studios as well.
It's great to be here.
Yeah, very nice. So I keep imagining you, and the story has so many layers to it because it's an amazing thing to give up your identity and give up your country and to forge this whole new you in a whole new place. And you've really forged it several times, haven't you? But let's go back to when you were a teenager and you decided to walk across the ice to leave North Korea.
Because growing up in North Korea, I learned North Korea is the most greatest country in the world. And then we are happiest human being. And we are privileged by having the leaders, which it was a dictator. I didn't know at the time. And then we learned many horrible things about the outside world. Although we didn't learn many things about outside world, but we learned those countries we have bad relationships, like America or Japan or South Korea. So we learned many hostile things about America. We are considered Americans not as a normal human being because we, in North Korea, everywhere we go, there's a pictures hang, those posted pictures on the wall about all ugly American soldiers' pictures, and then we just all on the picture, we just stabbing them with our pencils,
oh,
or
my.
Those kind of pictures.
And
so we learned, so also they are colonizing South Korea even these days and then executing South Korean students, and then South Koreans are living as slaves under their, you know, imperialist. So, I mean, what kind of human being can do even these days, you know? That's why we thought we must kill them off. So from the media, all the foreigners, visitors to Pyongyang, they're bowing to their statues, to dear leader's statues, and then, you know, bowing to the dear leader and then giving them flowers. So I thought, exactly, it was true what I learned from North Korean government. You know, all foreigners respect our dear leaders, so why not us? That's why, for me, you know, even in North Korea, everywhere, even in our homes, I mean, in public places, even in our homes, we hang their pictures on the wall. We have to choose the best wall in the house, and we have to put them very carefully. And we just bow to their pictures whenever we have a very good thing, to whatever, or anniversaries. So whenever I receive a gift from my parents, I just, instead of thanks to my parents, I thank to the leaders, mm-hmm. to their pictures, because I believed they are all the good things from them.
Mm. Yeah. And then you went through a famine, and you went through, you saw a public execution, and you thought, maybe this isn't great.
And then from the famine, I saw people dying. I mean, just a long story, but it's just, I saw people dying on the street, and it was shocking to me. I mean, how can people die? It's not, you know, war period, or I thought only people die in movies, which I saw people die in movies, but yeah. So, and then throughout that time, because I was living right next to the border with China, and then North Korea was such cut off from the outside world, but China was the only country I could compare with my own. And luckily, my old television could pick up a few Chinese TV channels, so I secretly watched the Chinese TV. It's illegal to watch Chinese TV in North Korea, so I kept in my room, and I blocked the window with curtains and with extra thick blankets to prevent the lights. Otherwise, the authorities will attack immediately. That's why I saw the TV, and then the TV changed me completely. You know, I learned even China, North Korea was superior to China, but I see from the Chinese TV, they are much economically developed and more open than my country. You know, in North Korea, having ring and necklace, you know, it's all illegal. Manicure, everything, we can't have it because it was considered capitalism decade, you know, so decay, so we can't. So it changed me a lot, and then that's the reason I escaped the country.
And that was not an easy thing to do, was it? You had, it was my understanding, some very distant relatives who lived in China, mm-hmm. so that's who you went to live with. But the Chinese, to say the least, were not welcoming you with open arms.
Yeah, you know, I was growing up near the border, and then I saw the brilliant new world in front of me, just across the border in China. And once I arrived in China, I mean, crossing the border is not easy. Most defectors have to cross the border with their life. But yeah, my situation, it was a little bit lucky since I had a good relationships with border guards, so they kindly, I mean, they helped me to cross the border. And but in China, the brilliant new world is not for me. It's not for North Korean defectors, while there's for everyone in this world, but not for North Korean defectors. And I had to live in the shadows, and I had to avoid the authorities all the time. So yeah, when I crossed the border into China, the last minute, I never knew it would be last minute in my life in North Korea, or last minute, I mean, I would be separated from my family forever.
Yes.
Or I have to avoid, I mean, the Chinese authorities all the time. Or I have to feed myself as a 17 years old girl. I had to earn my money myself every day. I never knew anything because I was too naive at the time. I just wanted to find out the answer, because I want to compare what I saw from Chinese TV and the real life in China. I just want to see with my own eyes whether that's real, or also the TV was another propaganda for us, you know. But yeah, that changed my life completely, everything from the moment.
And then you helped your mother and your brother leave North Korea as well. And what a harrowing journey. You sent them money. You had to get them through thousands of miles to get into Laos, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's after more than a decade. And in the end, I sought asylum to South Korea. And living in South Korea, finally, after more than 10 years, I had legal ID cards or passport I could have, because South Korean government considered the North Koreans are same citizens since we've been divided. So they take us as a South Korean citizen. But living in South Korea, I realized I won't show my mom, my brother, the brilliant new world. I mean, the freedom. I mean, for me, many people ask me, what's freedom for you meant? I mean, everything. Even sitting in this room right now and having the air, everything is freedom for me. Because in North Korea, we don't have any freedom. You know, we don't have freedom of speech, movement, press, and religion. And even you are not the master of your life. We don't have dream for our future, because depends on your family background status. Since we have a social hierarchy, it's considered, it depends on your family background, if you came from good family background, no matter you are smart, not sm- even if you are not smart or you have no abilities, you can get best jobs or, you know, you can move in society fast. But on the other hand, the people from, you know, high class, low class, they are, no matter how smart or even if they passed their university entrance exam, they can't go to the universities. They have limited chance in North Korea, so they become farmers or miners or construction right. workers entire their life. So even in North Korea, we don't have freedom of choose or future or dream.
Yeah.
So I wanted to show my family this freedom, this new beautiful world. But to having it, we have to get through another huge risk. Maybe if we can't make it succeed, then we can be sent back to North Korea. And worstly, my family will be imprisoned, public political prison, and me will be in public execution. It's no doubt, because I was having South Korean passport. And then for North Koreans who escaped to America or Japan, other countries, it's okay. They can put them in prison camp, but who holding South Korean passport, since we are divided and it considered a betrayal, so it's no doubt in public execution.
And if you don't want to talk about this, I understand, but I did read that your father had been taken in by North Korean authorities and you didn't see him again. Do you know what happened to him?
Even I don't really want to talk about the details, because since it's very sensitive topic, and then, I don't want the regime find out who I am.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
Only I focused my story in my book mostly. But yeah, it's not surprising, because in North Korea, if you have power or if you have money, that's not yours. It's not belong to for you forever. You see these days, many North Korean officials in Pyongyang, they are executing by the current young leader.
Right.
He's killing many people right now. It's the same thing, like my father. What he has in military, he was military officer, the power what he had is not for him. You know, nobody can make sure. It's exactly so in certain periods after it happened to him. And then, I mean, many people were sent to prison camp, but I don't know. My father, it was lucky, because he died before sending prison camp anyway. So he just suicide at the time. I was young at the time, but maybe he knew what gonna happen in his future, so that's why he just better suicide earlier in hospital. But in North Korea, suicide is illegal. Even you can't suicide in North Korea. Once you suicide, then your entire family, their family background will be this ground. I mean, will move. My family was in nice high class, but because of my father's suicide, we will be moved to the lower class. Mm. So that's why my mom, just at that time, she did her best. We just gave up all the money what we have, and then to change the record, that suicide into heart attack.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. What was really interesting to me was when you talk about, and there are lots of stories, you have to read the book to find out what all of you went through, but this idea of getting to freedom, experiencing freedom when you have not experienced freedom at all living in North Korea, is not an easy thing, right? It was not easy for your mother and for your brother to be in South Korea, because they hadn't tasted freedom, and in some ways, being in a very structured environment, they knew what life was like, and now they had to make money and maybe get to university, and you have to learn freedom. You have to learn it, don't you?
Yeah, but you know, since North Koreans never learned freedom, we don't know actual definition of freedom. So we don't know how to enjoy freedom. That's another problem. When North Koreans arrived in South Korea, there's too much freedom. So it brought another negative side effect for North Korean defectors. Because as I said in previous question, you know, North Korean defectors, even in North Korea, our future, we don't make decisions ourselves. The government taught us where to go, where to work. So which is relatively, it's easy for who has a pretty nice, you know, position in North Korea or nice came from nice family background. But when they arrived in South Korea, it was completely free, like America or most countries these days. And so even you have to choose even single steps, every step you have to choose yourself, you know, to go to work, whatever, you have to choose. So for Noskinti factors, we lived in communism society for entire our life, and then suddenly we came to the capitalism society, and then we don't know the capitalism society, and then just we need to choose our life ourselves.
Right.
That's
right.
very difficult to, we need somebody's, you know, guide, you know, but which is nobody, you know,
you
really
had to figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, I mean, I want to bring Brian in here for a moment, who you're married now, but he was studying in South Korea, and you were talking about the United States being the infidel, that, and here you are introducing, this must have been an incredible moment, introducing the man you want to marry to your mother, who's thinking of, the, I guess her mouth just, her jaw dropped open. How in the world can you be introducing this guy who's, he's the enemy? Brian, what happened at that meeting?
I was very nervous when I first met her family, because I knew that North Koreans are brainwashed to hate Americans. And actually, I found out later that just before they had come out of North Korea, that they had attended anti-American rallies and chanting anti-American slogans. So I was very nervous, of course, to meet them. And the first meeting was very awkward, and we got through the meal. And then, you know, I heard after the fact that Hyunseo's mom said something like, I'm getting too old for this, you know. She's it was a culture shock enough for her to come to South Korea, and then for her daughter to tell her that she's dating the enemy was just a little bit too much for her. And her brother also seemed a little bit cold at first, and I found out that he hated me when he first met me. But now we're, you know, we're very close. We got to know each other, and, you know, through our time together, he found out that Americans aren't that bad.
And they have been here, haven't they? Your mother and your brother have both been here?
Yeah, last year. And yeah, they spent 1 month here. And it's my mom who was brainwashed nearly 60 years in her entire life. Americans are not human, and then we must kill them off all the time. But she arrived in America, and then she's just amazed by Americans' kindness, everything. And then she thought there's on the street mass shooting every day, you know, because she saw from Seoul Screen TV, there's all the time Americans having guns, the problems. But she just thought so peaceful, especially in Milwaukee, yeah, Brookfield, you know, just the grass, all the nature, the trees, especially she loved the sweet corns here. Just, yeah, she just, every day, it's just, you know, she asked me to go out sitting on the grass, you know, which in South Korea we don't have. That's why, yeah, even in North Korea we don't have that. So she loves nature, and then she loves here. And it's very ironic that she hates America, but on her passport, that America is the only country she visited.
What a life. And you're so young. What lives do you have? We're going to welcome phone calls, too, for both of our guests. Hyunseo Lee is the author of The Girl with Seven Names, which just went on the publishing stands, the bookstores, in July. A North Korean defector's story, and it is a remarkable story. She defected when she was 17? Were you 17 or younger?
When I was 17.
17 she defected.
And then, you know, because of all the dangers in China, I had to change my name constantly to protect my identity. That's why I became The Girl with Seven Names, and which is the title of my new memoir right now.
Yeah. And so she has this very rare, because we know very, very little about life in North Korea, and I've never met a North Korean defector before. Probably many of you listening have not as well. So she not only knows the political situation in North Korea, but the number of people who have defected from North Korea, how many are there? There aren't very many in the United States, but there are some. What about reunification efforts? Is that just a dream that is so far from being a reality? How is it that a country, she's asked herself, like North Korea, can exist in the world in 2015? How can that be? So she is with us, and Brian Gleason is also with us. Brian is a graduate of Marquette University High School. His undergraduate degree was at UW-Madison, and he has a master's in international relations from, what's the name of the university?
Yonsei University in Seoul, South Korea.
In Seoul. And they met when they were students. So we welcome your phone calls. Feel free to join the conversation. The number here is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. And we should, well, we'll also put the TED Talk, Scotty. We can do that as well. She did a TED Talk a couple years ago, and it's had millions of viewings and a standing ovation. So we'll put that on our Facebook page, too, if you'd like to hear her speak. This is her English is... It was good then, but your English is really good now.
Thank you so much. I only learned, you know, 4 years so far.
Really?
It's not my second language. It's my third language. So still, I'm struggling every day to learn.
I'd say you're pretty good. You're more than pretty good.
My grammar is very poor.
No, it's you're good. Well, welcome phone calls in just a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Welcoming phone calls for the author of The Girl with the Seven Names, A North Korean Defector's Story. Hyunso Lee is with us in our studios, and her husband, who is from Brookfield, is also with us. And our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. A question for both of you, Hyunso, and also for you, Brian. You asked the question at one point, well, you've asked it, I'm sure, many times in your life, how is it that a country, and we wonder that too in many countries in the world, how is it that a country like North Korea can exist so cut off from the rest of the world for such a long period of time? How do you answer that question? How can it exist?
Because I think the dictators spend most of their time how to control the whole citizens, I guess. Because in North Korea, everybody can spy on each other. Everybody's just watching each other, even neighbors spying each other. Yeah, and then we have self-criticism sessions. As you read my book, self-criticism sessions, which in all entire world, only in North Korea exist. That's kind of ridiculous session. Which in the session, everyone have to, I have to criticize other people, other person. If I'm not criticizing, I will have problem. So we have to criticize, which means, you know, we never learned in North Korea, we have to love each other as a friend, or just to respect other people, or just to give them a good compliment as growing up. Instead of that, we just only learned, you know, reporting each other, criticize each other. Mm. That's why the society is continuous like that. So, you know, even between friends, they can't share their beliefs or thoughts, even between wife and husband, because if when they divorce one day, you know, one person could tell to the government about the other person's behavior about the, in the past. So only between, you know, parents and siblings, we can trust each other. But besides that, we can't. Mm-hmm. So like my mom's experience, after I escaped the country, you know, my mom was under surveillance for until she escaped the country. So more than decades. And then her best friend, she was monitoring her for years. And then she never thought she could be the spying for her. And then in the end, many years later, she told my mom, you know, actually, I was told by the agent that I had to report to your every single day schedules. If my mom went somewhere today, she had to report to where she went, and then the reasons, everything, the purposes. So in the end, she said, I feel sick of it. And then it's just, I'm telling you, you know. And then when my mom heard that, she was, wow. She just, that's why she quit the company at the time. So, yeah. And then she told me many times, because when I was living in China, I could contact with my mom over the phone. I mean, in near the border area, we had a Chinese cell phone, which is illegal. So I sent to North Korea so that I can communicate with them. So whenever I have phone call with my mom, she told me, you know, I feel I'm just stressed every day living here. Whenever I go out, I feel like all neighbors are watching where I'm going, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why she moved to many places in North Korea. But still, every place is, because whenever you move, we have the agents in every villages. They all keep watching. They are telling people, you know, spy on our family. Mm. So yeah, basically, it's just everybody spy on each other.
That what did she say when people asked where you were? What did she say when people asked, where is Hyunsu?
She can't say, I went to China. Then that means she can be sent to prison, you know. So she just, I was missing. She reported I was a missing child. She said that I left one day to the relative's home in other province, but she didn't come back. And it was missing, but you know the resident didn't believe it because certainly it's not first case, and at that time many defectors defected the country, many North Koreans. That's why it's too obvious that I defected the country. That's right. Why, yeah, we had problems. Mm.
Brian, when you met Hyunsu, you were in Seoul. She was the first North Korean defector that you had met ever, too, and she turned out to be your wife. But you had never met anybody, had you?
That's right. And actually, a lot of South Koreans have told me that they've never met a defector. It's very rare to actually meet one, especially because defectors want to blend into South Korean society. So they adopt Seoul accent, and they try to just blend in. But I happened to be sitting next to Hyunsu at a group dinner, and I just asked her where she grew up. And I got a very surprising answer. You know, I had... studied the map of South Korea, and so when she said, oh, I'm from Haesan, I said, oh, I don't really know where that is. And she said very casually, oh, it's just right near the border with China. And I did kind of a double take, and then I realized that I had met my first North Korean defector, and I, you know, started asking her some questions about her life, and she was very open with me, and we talked a lot. And to make a long story short, we just got married in Milwaukee last July.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What a story. How many defectors are there? Do we have any way of knowing?
Only in South Korea, around 30,000, and in United States, under 500, and in UK, around 1,000. But most defectors in China. So I think the 1% of North Korean population defected to China, and then among only 1% of defectors who is living in China just defected to either Korea or so, which means in China we have a lot of defectors right now hiding in China.
Hmm. And tell me more about this, and you as well, Brian, because you two are married now. But this part of your book, you say rather poignantly that there are still, even though it was a horrendous place, there are still things, which I understand, that you miss because you grew up in North Korea and you miss the kerosene smell and you miss the hard floor where you slept, and obviously you miss some relatives there. You miss some things, even though it's hard for us to understand because it was so horrendous, but it was home.
Yeah, actually, many people surprised that I miss my country, everything, so they thought you must hate the country, but right. For me, you know, no, that's my hometown, my country, where my, you know, all memories there, where my uncles, aunts, all my friends are still there, because besides the dictatorship, easily people forgotten those, you know, the innocent people who's suffering under the dictatorship. So I'm thinking about them. So that's why that's my country. And then I love those people. That's why even I'm just, you know, I'm still miss at the moment that on the border, I was staring at China all the time. I grew up, I watching China in North Korean side. But right now, I have to see North Korea in Chinese side. You know, on the vice versa. So I really miss the moment that I was standing in North Korea, staring at Chinese side. But I don't know if it's going to happen in my life again.
Hmm. Yeah. What do you think? Will it happen in her life, Brian?
I certainly hope so. And something that Hyunsu said that I think is maybe more of a realistic hope for our lifetime is that even if there isn't reunification, North Korea could potentially reform if there's more reform-minded leadership that comes in. And, you know, if they open the travel restrictions, if they open the economy, could have much more interaction between the two Koreas. And so I think the dream for most defectors, at least, is just to be able to cross borders and go visit their families, which most of us in the rest of the world take for granted.
Mm-hmm. It was interesting that you talked about Chinese television really making a huge influence for you to cross the border and take this huge risk. I would imagine that there is very little internet or communication. It's hard to imagine because we live, you know, here we are on the radio and we're talking and people are picking us up in France and all over the place. It is so hard to imagine a country being so cut off with communications from the rest of the world.
It's not surprising, actually. Not only we can't hear the international community's things, even in domestic, between province, between cities, we don't know what's happening. Because in North Korea, we only have one channel, KCNA from North Korea. And then they're always what they're everyday talking is, you know, all the propaganda words, anti-slogans, all those things. They're not telling very important things or, you know, domestic issues. So we don't know what's going on. Just all focus was their leader, what they're doing, why he went today, why he went to other factories or countryside, just all things what we heard about them. That's why, you know, we are such a cut off from, you know, every place. That's why nowhere to hear, nowhere to compare.
Right,
so that's why we don't, as what the regime told us, that we are the most privileged human being. And we believed. I thought all world living like as same North Korean de facto. I mean, as what North Koreans have. And then even where we are suffering, I thought maybe world, all world also suffering, you know. I thought this was life, you know. I never knew there's a very, I mean, exciting life with tons of freedoms, you know. Because in North Korea, we can't even move easily to the next cities without traffic certificate provided by the government. We can't move to the other cities, you know, that's why can't, you know, the messages can't share that easily among the North Korean people. Yeah.
What did you study in school? Did you know anything about world history at all?
We never learned much about the outside world, even the history. We only learned history about the dictators' history, how they made the, how they fought with the Japanese during Japanese colonial period, and then how they built North Korea, and then how they fought with South Korea, and then under the Americans' imperialist, all, you know, those things. So, like, in other countries, like, for example, in South Korea, learning English and learning, you know, science or mathematics is very important, considered very important. But in North Korea, those are not very important subjects for me, for everyone. Only learning Kim Il-sung, I mean, the dictators, Kim Il-sung, Kim Jong-il's history or their just the activism, just learning. We have the textbook like a Bible. So, yeah, if we're learning that, memorize all the things, is considered a very smart student.
So you had a lot of brushing up to do to get into university. You had to learn a lot, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was in school, I was my principal of school, she loved me a lot. The reason was I was smart to repeat what the book said about dear leaders activism. So I mean, right now I'm thinking, you know, I just wasted my childhood, you know, learning all the false information.
Yeah. Well, you didn't, because here you are now letting us know what it was like, because we don't know either. I mean, we don't know.
Yeah, there's some, even I don't know many things about North Korea too, because of every day it's happening crazy stories in North Korea, so, which I said we cut off from the, you know, even between provinces. Even I'm sure there's many stories even I don't know myself.
Yeah. Well, let's welcome phone calls. Our number 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. We have the TED Talk and information about her book on our Facebook page. If you'd like to go there, I recommend you see her TED Talk as well. Hyunsoo Lee is our guest. Her book is The Girl with Seven Names, A North Korean Defector's Story. Brian Gleason is also with us, and Brian and Hyunsoo are married. They met each other as students in Seoul, South Korea, and here they are in Milwaukee because Brian grew up here. Ain't it something? Ain't the world something? All right, we'll go to phone calls, and we'll start with Mike in Milwaukee. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, love the show. Thanks for having me. I just wanted to say hi to, that's my cousin Brian. and his wife, Yun So.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, we're all very proud of you. Hey, hey, Brian.
Thanks for calling in.
Heck yeah, great show. I love it. yeah, love the book so far. I haven't finished it, but I started it, and it's great. But yeah, just wanted to say hi. And it's, what a nice surprise to hear your voice on the air.
Thank you.
Great to hear from you.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, give me a call if you guys want to hang out soon.
Yes. That's a real
good
American expression, yeah, isn't it? Give me a call and we'll hang out.
You know, after I arrived in America, I was very shocked. We learned Americans are, I thought in America only American soldiers living in America, because we learned all the false information from the picture. So I thought there's not like a gentleman's fashion. So I never knew about that. But yeah, also we in North Korea, we never learned about charity. So we don't have the charity words, freedom, or we don't have a human rights words. So, but you know, when I see all Americans or world people just donating money to people who's in need, I was very, you know, impressed by their behavior. And then even their culture, I mean, just even we don't know each other, but they say hello or just good afternoon, good morning, you know. From the beginning, I was feel very strange. I mean, you don't know me, certainly, but you're just talking to me. I thought they're strange. But later, just, wow, how kind of human being in this world.
And you must tell us the story, because this person made a huge difference in your life. You, I believe, were jailed with your mom and your brother when you were trying to get them into Laos. Yeah. And some stranger, some complete stranger from Australia got money out of an ATM and gave it to you. That's an amazing story.
Yeah. Actually, there's some movie makers, producer, they approached me, and then they said, that with Australian, that story, they can't even make in scenario, in fake stories, in fictions. It's just a very beautiful than, you know, any fiction, they said. So, like, you know, I mean, it's surprising that I didn't receive this help even in China or in South Korea, not in United States, in Laos. Yeah, even I didn't know on the map where was the country until I bring my family out. But in Laos, my family, when they're in prison, and then the Laos government asking money, I mean, officially, to we need to pay fine fees. And then by the time, my money was running out of my pocket. And then, you know, I don't know, I know where to borrow. I mean, in Laos, I don't know anybody. You know, I was just sitting at the coffee shop. I don't know the solutions. But at the time, just he was angel. He was suddenly appeared to me, and then he was the only foreigner, only the person who was trying to speak with me. And then I didn't understand English at the time. Very rarely I understood that. So I just communicate with him with my dictionary. We have on the phone, we have a dictionary. So I just communicate with the dictionary, and then he understood somehow. You know, I said prison, defectors, fine, something.
Goodness.
And then just he immediately heard me with his credit card, and he went to ATM across the street. And I just couldn't believe at the time it was real. And then, yeah, his behavior changed my life completely into a positive way. Until that moment, I thought this world filled with all the evils who was trying to, you know, take benefits from Ruskin defectors or telling the reporters to the government, you know. But from him, just, wow, I thought the angels not only, you know, in novels or something, they're working among us. And then at the time I realized again, yeah, I have to tell this beautiful story to the world. And then I need to share all tragedy. So we need help outside the international community's help. So that's the key. He gave me more of it to study English. So from that time, I did my best. Mm-hmm. And I'm here today. And then I met him. I reunited him.
I heard that. Yeah,
2013, after my TED talk. I was just, wow, I couldn't imagine that I can meet him in my lifetime again. And then the Australian TV show, they put us on the TV program. So we met there. And then even today, we are talking each other. And then I just sent out my copies to him. So, yeah.
A book. Wonderful.
Yeah.
It's one story after another. Mike, thanks for the call. Jesse in Stevens Point. Hi.
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 Hi, thank you so much for having me, and thanks for this incredible story. My question had to do with freedom. I was really struck by your description of kind of your first taste of freedom and what freedom really means to you now, and kind of how overwhelming it is. It's almost like there aren't words to describe it. And now that you have been in the U.S., you know, you probably picked up on Americans sometimes talking about a lack of freedom or a feeling of feeling stuck in a job, or they don't have enough money and so they feel a lack of freedom. And I'm assuming you've kind of heard that. I wonder how that lands for you, and what advice you might have for people in our country who are feeling a lack of freedom when maybe we're surrounded by it.
Thank you, first of all, for giving me a question. And for me, because every country in this world is much better than North Korea. Even China has many problems, but it's much better than North Korea. If I was living in China more than 10 years, and then even when I was living in China, I was dreamed what if I was born in China, it would be much, much better being born in North Korea. So same thing, you know, yeah, this right now, people living in free world, they don't really aware of the freedom they have, the country they have. They don't really, I mean, some people, they don't really appreciate for that. Maybe, as you said, just a lot of complaints. But for me, you know, as who experienced a horrible country, and then who experienced that there's not freedom. So as I said to many people, also sometimes some people suicide sometimes. I mean, maybe because of depression or whatever. For me, it's hard to understand. I mean, for North Korean defectors, to get this freedom, we get through over many obstacles. I mean, for me to have this freedom, it took very long time. I have to overcome many obstacles through China to come to South Korea. So I know the values of freedom, how this is important to, as a human being, to live. And then that's why, you know, I just want to say to people, you know, thank you for the country you have, and thank you for the opportunity you have, and enjoy the freedom, you know.
Mm-hmm. Brian, tell me more about, because obviously the cultural, you're a woman of the world now, Hyun-soo, but that wasn't always the case. And when you think about how you grew up, there must be times since you've known each other where you've had to let Hyun-soo know about things that have happened in the world or things that have happened in history, or you've had to, because she's lived such a very different life and people were spying on each other, that you've had to perhaps teach trust, to be wary at times, but also to teach trust because she's been through hell.
You know, he's sometimes nervous or paranoid.
She
said, what if you're a North Korean spy? When I woke up next morning, maybe I will be kidnapped in North Korea. Are you really a spy or real defector? You know?
Sometimes. Said that jokingly, yes.
Yeah, but yeah, actually, many people have this concern who married the North Korean defectors.
Well, I can see. Yeah, right. We don't know anything about North Korea either, right?
Right. Well, and I think Hyun-soo is a very trusting person in general, but a lot of other defectors I've met are very very reluctant to get close to anyone because they've had such horrible experiences.
Right.
Their neighbors are spying on each other, as Hyun-soo has described. So that's something that Hyun-soo aims to do in the future, is to kind of help these defectors who, even in South Korea, have to be concerned that there are spies among them, to have the confidence to branch out into the international community. So, you know, Hyun-soo learned English. She was able to move out into the world, and now she aims to help others do that as well. But that's a major issue for most defectors, is learning how to trust someone.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, Hyun-soo is very unique among defectors. She's very outgoing. She's very willing to share her story.
But on the same time, by doing so, I'm just fear I have a security problem, which I'm doing is obviously against the regime, you know. So,
right.
And yeah, among the de facto community, we also have spies, and then we don't know. I don't know who's a real spy. Can't figure out. So, can't meet people freely, you know. Because as I'm more speaking out about North Korea right now, just I'm also in panic sometimes.
I understand that.
Yeah.
And one quick thing I'll add, observing Hyunseo and other defectors, it's amazing to see how avidly they read the news. You know, you can tell that the people who from North Korea who haven't had the truth their whole lives, they're so fascinated and so curious about what's going on in the world. And so, you know, you even have South Korea recently resuming propaganda broadcasts into North Korea, which is a lot of times just simply sending in news and information because these people in North Korea are so starved of information.
Mm. More phone calls in a moment. 800-486-8655 is our number. The Girl with Seven Names, a North Korean defector story, is the name of Hyunseo's book. Hyunseo Lee, you spell her name H-Y-E-O-N-S-E-O, and Lee is L-E-E, and her husband, who she met, they were both students in South Korea, and he lives remarkably in, he grew up in Brookfield, Wisconsin. Brian Gleason, graduate of Marquette University High School and UW-Madison. So we'll take a few more calls. The hour is zooming on by. We'll be with more of you in a moment here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Tomorrow during this time period, we're going to have some of the cast members from the American Players Theater production of Othello. They're a terrific company. You know that because you all go there, and it's been around for a long time. They survived. They're thriving and beautiful Shakespearean actors and classics, so we'll talk with them tomorrow. Deborah in Wisconsin Dells. Hi.
Hi. Excuse me if I pronounce your name wrong. Young?
Young.
And yep. My name is Deborah, and I just want to say... I welcome to America, and I just admire you so much. And I grew up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and I've had a lot of joys, but it's you don't appreciate things until later in your life. And I feel now I get caught in this trap of feeling sorry for myself, but it. Stories like yours keep me grounded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do. Stories like hers are pretty remarkable. Thank you, Deborah, very much for your call. I'm glad she's touched your life. I want to talk about your name, because you write about that early in the book and how you chose. You've had a lot of names, but the one you have now has particular significance.
Because, in South Korea also, even if I'm living in free country in South Korea as a legal citizen, I realized I have obligation to protect my family in North Korea. That's why I couldn't share my real name even in South Korea. It's very sad. So I have to change. So at the moment, I've been through very hard life in my life as a North Korean defector. I mean, not only me, but most defectors had similar, that kind of horrible stories. But so I just chose my life. I mean, only by choosing name, maybe I can have a better life. I just somehow I want to believe that, even though that works not really well, it's not really connected. But so Hyun, I gave Lee is a family name, and then Hyunseo, Hyun is a sunshine. So I don't want to live in shadows anymore. That's why I gave a sunshine. You know, I want to live with warm. You know, and then Seo means luck. So I hoped all the best luck come to me so that I don't need to worry about repatriate or don't need to worry about anything. You know, that's why I gave my name. And then, but still, that's why I have still have identity crisis, because I have many names. You know, I lived seven different lives, and then still I sometimes think who I am. You know, who am I? I'm just asking even myself, and then I'm still thinking my own memories. You know, when I was before 17, before crossed the border. Since I can't go back to country, you know, that's why all my memories is in there. That's impossible in my life, maybe. That's why I'm long for that moment all the time. So when I'm talking with my mom with a North Korean accent and then talking about the life in North Korea, I feel like finally I found my identity myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sadly I can't call out my real name, but I know, and my mom knows the name, so it's just all that me, that's me, you know, mm-hmm. only at the moment.
I know you spoke before the UN. What was that about?
Last year, April, it was a very historical moment, because the UN Security Council, they've been talking about only North Korean, nuclears or the political issue things, but it was for the first time in history they started talking about North Korean human rights. So in front of 15 countries ambassador, including, you know, U.S. ambassador Samantha Power, I gave a, you know, testimony about the human rights situations in North Korea. So I asked them, we need help, international community. So it was very, yeah, touching moments, you know. So yeah, I feel very lucky can even share my story or my thoughts in front of very influential leaders, you know. Yeah, and then yeah, so last year there's a UNCOI report it released about North Korean human rights issues, and then it can pressure on, you know, the current dictator, you know, can, so which is a very amazing in the history, which never happened. I mean, North Korean de facto tragedy, it started a long time ago, even from mid-1990s, but we didn't get any attention. And then very recently, it just started. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm thankful for the growing
support.
Well,
we're thankful for you being with us, too. Thank you so much. Thanks. All the best to you, Brian. Thank you very much for getting married to her.
I never thought I would marry American bastard in my life, you know? So, yeah,
oh,
never knew.
Yeah.
Life's so cool. Yeah.
Life is so cool. Hyun-Soo Lee, the book is The Girl with Seven Names, a North Korean's defector's story. Thanks to Scotty Myers for production of this program. Thanks.